Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I am Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very difficult to emphasize one or other of, or the other of Audrey's two roles, technical and spiritual advisor. But tonight she was the technical advisor and got us online. It took us about 20 minutes to ring up the switchboard here, not to ring it up, but to actually to find the page, because of so much traffic, so many shows on. And I heard Alan Levy in a Fox News clip that he did last month say that Blog Talk Radio now has. Something like 60,000 shows that are regular, and they've done over, I think, 110,000 different show presentations. And ours, of course, is up into the 100, maybe pushing 140, something like that. So the network's just absolutely tremendous. People are figuring it out. And he was talking about all the different celebrities, newscasters, people, et cetera, that are getting, I figured out that Blog Talk Radio is the way to go. You broadcast worldwide in streaming audio. And it's live. But thank you very much, Audrey, for getting us on tonight. And Mike, if you, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to comment on this later, but I can't get Mike to stop laughing, and I'll tell you about that later on in the show. But Mike and Emily, thank you for joining us. Mike, why don't you, later. You're listening to the Jumble Justice Radio Show. We like to discuss events, news, issues, developments in the always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. And tonight there's some humorous things and some very serious things that are going on. One of my friends was very dismayed that the bill went down in Congress this week that would have allowed people to carry, if they had a concealed carry license in any state, that would legitimate their carrying of a concealed carry weapon in any other state. And there are states, of course, that have reciprocal agreements. Ohio has it with Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, etc. They don't have one with Texas, by the way. And in a way, I kind of agree with the logic of the case, to be honest. We have a lot of things to do tonight, so I should get moving. But the logic of the case is this is the business of the states to make their own laws without the federal government stepping in and doing that. And of course, some of our most famous commentators thought this was a wonderful thing, like Mayor Bloomberg of New York said this would have been one of the most dangerous laws we ever passed and lives would have been lost. Sure, those concealed carry people, men and women, sure get their guns out a lot and shoot a lot of innocent people, right? Let me know about one when you find out about it, all right? But our show is dedicated to those very energetic, tireless, resourceful police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals that serve us throughout the United States and throughout the world. What we try to do here is look inside the criminal justice field, take a close-up look at criminal justice practice. We'll do that a little bit tonight. We've all heard about the famous case now of Professor Gates in Cambridge, Mass. He's the famous Harvard professor that was arrested for breaking into his own house. That wasn't what he was arrested for. He's arrested for disorderly conduct. So we'll offer some commentary on that. A couple things probably you haven't heard or angles you haven't thought about in this particular case, but we'll get to that later. You're listening on the magic of Blog Talk Radio. It's a leading-edge technology. If you want to get your own show, you can do it. Any person, any interest group, from cigars to astronomy to darts to laughter yoga, can have their own show, and they can broadcast live and streaming audio over the internet in worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. Think about that. If you would have done this on the internet 10 years ago, you would have had 50 listeners you could have reached, or 100 or something like that, and it would be all clogged up after that. Here you can go worldwide. So get your own show if you don't like it. Tonight what we're going to do is our usual look at some news. We're going to have some audio news, and we're going to use news from the FBI's press releases. Yes, they have audio press releases on FBI.gov. I've been browsing around that site here for the last 4 or 5 days, thinking about our show for this week. We have a show tonight, an old-time radio show, The FBI in Peace and War. I really like that one. And this one tonight is called The Smoke Ring. And I think you'll enjoy even the subject matter in this one. And here's some great radio acting commenting in this particular show. But anyway, they have a lot of things on their site, and they have press releases every week. And I think you'll find some of these very interesting, and I'll give you a little tip. One of them we're going to talk about tonight, the news item that the FBI is mentioning, is we have a serial bank robber loose in the United States. And do I ever mean serial? I'll just try to whet your interest with that and then wait till we get to the show. Well, what you could be doing is listening on your computer, or you can listen on your cell phone if you call in on 347-996-5983. If you want to call and talk during the news show, you can actually do that, or do the news segment. You can do that by calling 347-996-5983, 347-996-5983. We can hold 5 callers at a time, and they can all talk, laugh, comment, whatever they choose to do. As ladies and gentlemen who've been with us for a long time, you know that Audrey always brings a blonde joke. Well, tonight she's going to do some short ones. I should emphasize that Audrey is a blonde. She is a native of London, England, has been collecting blonde jokes since she was a small child, and she has some tonight that are sort of one-liners that she's pulled out of the trunk, and I think you'll enjoy these. Audrey, you all set with your one-liners? How many you got? 9, 10, something like that? Okay, let's go.
Professor Haley, we have had an occasion or two in the past where we have a series of blonde jokes in a question and answer format. I have 11 of those for our listeners tonight. I do hope they enjoy them. Here we go. What is a cool, refreshing drink for a blonde? Perrier. Why did God create blondes? Because sheep can't bring beer from the fridge. What does a blonde and a beer bottle have in common? Both are completely empty from the neck up. Why did the blonde scale the chain link fence? To see what was on the other side. Why are blondes hurt by people's words? Because people keep hitting them with dictionaries. How do you drive a blonde insane? Hide her hair dryer. How do blonde brain cells die? Alone. How do you know a blonde has robbed your house? You notice the microwave is gone, but a note is there in its place saying thanks for the TV. How do you keep a blonde in suspense? I'll tell you tomorrow. How do you get a blonde to stay in the shower all day? Lend her your bottle of shampoo that says lather, rinse, repeat. What do you call a blonde on a university campus? A visitor. That is all on our list tonight. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Audrey. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, speaking of firearms, we always like to play the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms public service announcement, and this is directed toward the gangbangers and street criminals and thugs and robbers who are using firearms to commit their crimes, some even murders, of course. And this message is directed to them to go turn in their firearms. Every now and then somebody tells me that might not be the audience this was intended for, but it seems like it would have to be.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition, and I hope people take heed to that particular message. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've introduced a feature here about a month ago, since we have the sustainability of the planet to worry about. Never mind those record cold temperatures, coldest in 100 years, 1,300 years have been occurring here in several states and cities over the last 2 or 3 months. Forget those, but we must sustain the planet, and we must worry about global warming. So we've been passing on a green tip each week here for the last several weeks. Sometimes they relate to criminal justice, what doesn't, in one way or the other, and sometimes they don't. But here's our first one tonight, and I'll bet I would be interested to know, Mike, what would you think? What percentage of our audience complies with this green tip? And this tip would be something kind of interesting. It recommends that those of you who've been throwing away your bathwater, that might be after you bathe 4 or 5. Remember, that was a tip. Don't run new water and new soap for each child. You can run 5 or 6, 8 kids in a row, I guess, in the same bathwater. I think I'd prefer to be number one or two, but you never know. But you've probably been throwing that bathwater away, and they're now recommending in the very fine book by Esme Floyd, her green tip number 412 is to divert your gray water. It says here, don't waste your bathwater after you're finished. If you set up a bathwater diverter system to pipe away your dirty bathwater for use in your landscaping, you won't have to use a hose pipe or sprinkler system to irrigate your lawn. Now, isn't that something? You could actually be using your bathwater for the lawn. Now, this other one's a little more risky, and certainly challenges us because I know the value of this particular feature that we're going to talk about here just in a moment. Some have just recently discovered the exciting exercise related to tranquility and peace on the earth and peace in one's soul called laughter yoga. You can actually go to the site, it's laughteryoga.org, laughteryoga.org, and you can see that there are there are laughter yoga clubs all over the world, and all they do is laugh. In fact, some are simply phone clubs. You call up each other and you laugh, and Blog Talk Radio, I'll let you search for it, it'll be the only one. You put in the search box laughter yoga and you're going to come up with a show. And on that show, they laugh, and they laugh, and if you laugh enough, I mean, I think I'm an advocate now. If you laugh enough, it moves the stuff in your chest around, you know, it makes you feel good. So the woman actually claims on that site that this is better than a rowing machine, that one-third of the time involved in laughter yoga, just laughing vigorously, is a better aerobic exercise than 3 times that amount on a rowing machine. Now, I can't check that out with numbers, but Mike, what do you think? Okay, I'll try to contain myself here tonight. But anyway, here's the issue with greenies, with the green movement. Does that much laughter, of course, emit CO2, doesn't it, into the air? Because you're expounding, right? And so I'm wondering if we had, as one of the people claim and wants to do, they want to set up laughter yoga clubs outside of towns, laughter yoga towns outside of major cities all over the United States, where they're just laughing communities. Now, isn't that incredible? But all that laughter is going to, you know, it's going to warm the planet. So laughter may take over the number one planet pollutant and replace cow flatulence. So we have to be careful about that. I guess if you're going to get in laughter yoga, you ought to get some way of gauging how much CO2 that you're releasing. If you shut up the rest of the time, maybe that would balance the whole thing out. You'd get your health benefit, and we still wouldn't be warming the planet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to some of the news here tonight. Look at some of these things rather quickly. I want to play some of these FBI news clips here in just a second. And there's a few things that we were going to talk about here real quick. And, you know, speaking of laws and criminal justice and planet sustainability, New York City has one of the most ambitious environmental agendas. And one of the things they do in their anti-pollution policy, they have a law against idling. The Associated Press has found SUVs idling all over the city from about 10 minutes to over an hour, and they happen to be Mayor Bloomberg's SUVs. I guess he's got 11 of them or something like that. But they have one of the toughest idling laws in the nation. We're talking about your automobile running. So if you're waiting for someone out in front of a school, like your daughter or your son, to get out, grade school, and it's February or whatever month, you are not allowed to have your car idle more than 1 minute. And the police officers will write you a ticket, and of course New York City would be very happy to collect the fine, given the condition that they're in at this point. So that's something to think about, isn't it? I mean, idling, of course, I think if you have a Prius, you don't have to worry about it at all. Doesn't a Prius actually turn off at every stop? I believe it does, and you take off on battery, and then later on the engine kicks in, and away you go. So I don't know exactly all the workings of a Prius, but I think that's pretty similar. this is kind of an interesting news story, folks. How many people you think are serving life terms in the United States? Prisoners serving life. We have 2.3 million prison inmates. That's jails and prisons in the United States. People worry about that number. Boy, that's too many. That's too much. But let's factor in also we have the lowest crime rates we've had probably in the last, we have had in the last 50 years. They've inched up a little bit here and there and down over the last couple of years, but they're still very, very low. But out of 2.3 million inmates that are held in prisons and jails, and some in some states, Texas, for example, has a category of crime called state jail felonies. You serve your felony time, whether other states specify that or not, it's the case also in probably most states. You can actually serve some of your felony time actually in a jail and not a prison. But out of 2.3 million inmates in the United States, 140,610 are serving life sentences. And this has been tracked along back in 1984, there were only 34,000. Serving life sentences. Two-thirds of these prisoners, we have to do this type of analysis, are Latino or Black. The report found in New York State, for example, 16.3% of prisoners serving life terms are white. I want to comment on life terms. You could spend a whole show just on this, which might be an interesting idea. Get somebody from the correction system to comment. But life does not necessarily mean life, because we're now talking about a woman in this article. She's serving a life sentence, but she's eligible for parole within 2 or 3 years. And she was denied once or something like that. But how can you be serving life if you're eligible for parole? Seven prison systems, Illinois, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, and the federal penitentiary system do not offer the possibility of parole to prisoners serving life terms. So those states must have articulate, intelligent people that understand what a life term means. A life term would seem like, to the average person, I think, you're going to stay in prison for life. Well, in most states, that is not the case. And I won't overemphasize it, but you've heard me comment on my friend who was murdered brutally by two people, one with a double-barrel shotgun, shot him in the head. And the man that did this got life in prison. And he did time from 1982 to 1994 at a high. He did 12 years. Doesn't seem like life, doesn't it? Somebody there can't count in the state prison system. But it's interesting that these numbers have risen substantially. Of course, in California, they're talking about the three strikes law that, your third offense can be. In fact, the first guy I think that did his third crime was a felony
pizza robbery, where he took the pizza off somebody's table at a food court, and he got life in prison. But he's not going to do life. It just simply doesn't happen for something like that. So anyway, let's take a listen. Oh, this one is too much, so I have to comment. I'm sorry, Emily, if I got time. Let me try it. this one is really something. This one talks about converting onion juice to electricity. I'm not kidding. Onions make you cry. They add flavor to your food, and they're touted for their medicinal benefits. Now the vegetable has another use, powering up green energy. A new system debuts on Friday that converts onion juice into electricity at Gill's Onions, the largest fresh onion processor in the U.S. This guy claims he's going to save something like $700,000 a year by taking his onions and waste and using that, converting that into 30,000 tons of waste and turning that into electricity. The exact dynamics of and how that all happens, he says, in the new system, bacteria produce methane gas from the juice. The gas then goes to 200-300 kilowatt fuel cells, creating enough power for 460 homes. Now, would there be windmills? You get a little noise. People are complaining about that already. They're also complaining about these big windmills being transported around cities and states because they cause traffic jams. The company expects to get 35% to 40% of its electricity from this on-site generator using onions. How about that? Really something. I may hold off. Oh, Ohio executed somebody again, a man who went on a killing rampage over the Christmas holiday in 1992. Yes, I said 92. I think that was 17 years ago, almost. Killing six people, including an 18-year-old mother, gunned down at a payphone. He was executed at Lucasville on July 22nd. So there's one that will not be a recidivist. That's for sure. I'm going to hold this story about texting and cell phone talking. A big investigative article came out this week in several locations about how the federal government may have withheld how dangerous text messaging in that business is. So let's take a look at and listen at some of these news stories all from the FBI about what's going on. And let's take a look at that one about the serial bank killer right off. So here we are. This is a news story from the FBI's website and fairly recent.
He robs banks and he's called the Limping Bandit. Special Agent Patrick Sanford out of the Jacksonville, Florida FBI office says this guy apparently did his first bank job in 2007.
He's since robbed at least 19 banks that we know of so far.
Sanford says this 30 to 50-year-old, near 6-foot-tall, red-haired robber has hit banks in north central Florida and Alabama.
He's also moved up to the multiple communities in the Charleston and Columbia, South Carolina area, close to the Georgia state line.
Sanford says the limp is much more noticeable after leaving the bank with the stolen money.
When he starts to run, his limp is exaggerated a little more.
Sanford says the robber carries a handgun and usually wears jeans and a polo-type collared shirt.
He always wears a baseball cap and sometimes has sunglasses either on his face or on top of his hat.
You can see bank surveillance photos of this armed serial bank robber at www.fbi.gov on the Internet. I'm Neil Schiff of the Bureau, and that's what's happening at the FBI this week.
So that's a little sound clip from the show, The FBI This Week, as he says. And here's another interesting one. This is about some activity going on at grave sites.
The FBI is helping Cook County, Illinois authorities in the case of cemetery employees displacing hundreds of grave sites. FBI Special Agent Ross Rice has been at the scene.
The Cook County Sheriff determined that employees of the Baroque Cemetery in South Suburban Alsip, Illinois, had been unearthing graves, removing the remains of those that were interred there, and then reselling the spots.
The sheriff's office asked the FBI for forensic assistance. Rice says the evidence recovery team, consisting of special agents from the FBI's Chicago office, is on site, along with an FBI laboratory anthropologist.
It is, quite frankly, similar to an archaeological dig. The remains are scattered over a large area. There was no pattern or rhyme or reason to the way they were dumped once they were disinterred. And he's also providing assistance in identifying the remains as being human or animal.
Four cemetery workers face state charges. I'm Neil Schiff of the Bureau, and that's what's happening at the FBI this week.
Is there no limit to the imagination in the criminal mind? Who would ever think of removing bodies from graves and then reselling the grave sites? Just incredible. Here's another one about Chicago.
A new way to try and catch bank robbers. It's happening in the Chicago, Illinois area. And FBI Special Agent Ross Rice says you can see some really good surveillance photos on a brand new website for bank bandits.
There are multiple digital images from each robbery. We take, obviously, the best photos that we have that show most accurately and clearly who the offender is.
Rice says 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anyone can go to bandittrackerchicago.com and see who's robbing banks.
They can look at photos, they can print photos, they can download the wanted flyer, and most importantly, if they're so inclined to do so, they can submit a tip online anonymously.
Rice says that if you happen to be in a bank that's being held up, follow the instructions of the bandit. Don't take any action, but take some mental notes about the thief. The FBI, along with the Cook County Sheriff's Office and the Chicago Police Department, are coordinating bandittrackerchicago.com. I'm Neil Schiff of the Bureau, and that's what's happening at the FBI this week.
I think I'll save this last FBI this week clip. I want to mention that the FBI site is loaded. In fact, I have a graduate research student this term doing an analysis of congressional testimony, and there are numerous times each year the student is looking at like 10 years of congressional testimony and classifying the kind of very specialized things that these FBI agents and specialists and criminalists, et cetera, report to Congress on. If you have a chance to take a look at the FBI site, it's really been upgraded, I think, over the last several years, just loaded with very interesting information. And one thing interesting happened to me, and I'm going to have to try to figure out what this is about. I'm spending 3 or 4 days on the site, and I'm popping around and all that business, and of course they can tell, you know, your web number, doing that. And all of a sudden a survey pops up and wants to know what I think of the site. And the survey ranks, wants a ranking 1 to 10, that may be too much, but 1 to 10 in terms of this ordinal scale. And so I'm looking through all these things, and I'm filling out some answers. I'm trying to be pleasant about that. Usually I don't. And then all of a sudden, for question 12 or 14 or something, one of the questions says, would you report an act of terrorism on this website? I'm thinking, what in the world has that got to do with whether I like the website or not? So I disengaged, and I hope that doesn't get me on some type of watch list. I've probably done things worse that would actually get me there. But anyway, kind of an interesting is I really commend the FBI. It's a very well done site, and it's up to date, and you'll find all sorts of interesting things there, and look into some types of cases that we don't ordinarily hear concerning the FBI and their investigative skills. So that's that for the FBI site. Be sure to take a look at it. Well, tonight we're going to do an old-time peace and war FBI story, and this one is kind of interesting, and it makes me think of a news story I just saw. Remember once we talked about the electronic cigarette, a way to stop smoking? You can smoke this electronic cigarette. You're allowed to smoke it inside because there's no tobacco involved. Now the government has come back. Somebody's come back and said, there may be carcinogens in each one of these little flavored type of things that you put in. What doesn't have a carcinogen in it, right? So anyway, electronic cigarettes, I think it's .com or .org or whatever, they're going to try to refute this business that maybe these things aren't as dangerous as some of the medical people are saying they are. I think breathing's dangerous, isn't it? Who knows? But anyway, I hope you enjoy this show. Well, it's FBI, The Smoke Ring.
The FBI in peace and war. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Smoke Ring.
Oh. United States Attorney's Office, Miss Davis speaking.
Hello, I'd like to speak with Mr. Taylor, please. This is Agent Stevens over at the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, Mr. Stevens, just a minute, please. Mr. Taylor.
Yes?
Agent Stevens on the line. Will you talk with him?
Stevens? Of course I will. Thank you, Miss Davis. Hello, Steve. What can I do for you?
Not a thing for the moment. This call's on us.
Okay, I'm listening.
We just picked up a stolen car in Ohio, Bruce. It was being driven by a character we've been after named Miguel Trevia. In the back of the car, we found some 400 unstamped boxes of cigars.
Cigars?
Unstamped. I thought your revenue boys might be interested.
Mike is putting it mildly.
Okay, we're holding Trevia over here.
Good. We'll be over in 10 minutes.
During the early part of this year, a ring dealing in tobacco was defrauding the government of a sum in taxes which was subsequently determined to be over $1 million. This was accomplished through deliberate failure of the manufacturer to put revenue stamps on his cigar boxes while selling them to under-the-counter buyers. Our attention was brought to the evasion when a fugitive wanted by the Bureau was apprehended with a number of the unstamped boxes in his possession. The questioning of this man brought out an unexpected tangent development which plunged us directly into the case.
Hello?
Carlos, this is me. I'm calling from you nowhere.
Well, go ahead.
Pick me up in the car right away. You and me are driving east.
Anything wrong?
Enough. The feds picked up Miguel with a carload of smokes. We're checking out of the area, setting up new outlets.
Carlos?
Yeah? There it is over there.
Where?
Store next to the corner. La Perfecta.
Oh, yeah. You're sure you won't come with me, Vanny?
No, I'll wait in the car.
Okay, if you think I can swing it alone.
You can swing it. Just say what I told you.
Okay.
Don't be too long.
I won't.
Only say what I told you. The rest will be gravy.
Okay.
Oh, yes, sir. Can I help you?
Maybe. I'm looking for the proprietor.
Oh, that's me.
Huh?
Mr. Ben Udell, at your service.
Oh. Well, they told me later.
I know. You mean my mother. Everybody does. She's in the back. I'll call her.
No, no, that's okay. I'll find her.
Go right through that door, dear.
Thank you.
And the same candy order as last time. That's right. No, I guess that's all this week, Mr. Lowen. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Your boy out front said you're the one who runs this place, Mrs. Udell, right?
That's right.
Well, my name is Carlos, Mrs. Udell. Ramon Carlos. I couldn't help overhearing you place that order. I would like to talk to you about that.
Well, if you're a salesman, I'm sorry. I do all my buying through Mr. Wolin.
But I can give you a better deal, Mrs. Udell. I got the finest merchandise to offer for the cheapest price.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carlos. I'd like to help you out.
But you couldn't do it for me, huh?
I'm sorry.
Not even for Benny?
Benny?
Not your boy, Mrs. Udell. This Benny, I mean, is a lot older.
I don't know any other Benny.
That so?
That's so.
Well, it has been a long time. You could have forgot. Benny said if your memory was bad,
look,
all I had
Mr.
to do
Carlos,
was...
Look, Carlos, I'm very busy.
All I had to do was to remind you that this Benny you don't know is the same one you got hitched to back in Detroit, October 1934. Your memory any better now, Mrs. Udell?
What do you want?
Well, like I said, I got fine merchandise. I just want you to place your orders through me from now on instead of any competitors.
What kind of merchandise?
Smokes, Mrs. Udell. Cigars. Any kind you can name.
Why come to me?
I tell you, Mrs. Udell, these are real fine smokes, like I say. One thing only... Well, somebody just forgot to put those revenue stamps on the boxes.
You'd better leave, Mr. Carlos, right now.
Yeah?
Because if you don't, I'm going to pick up this phone and call the police.
Mrs. Udell, Benny said there's something else I might have to remind you about. You and him are still married.
Are you leaving or aren't you?
Not only that, you got a son, Benny's own boy. He even wears the same name.
Get out, you hear me?
You can't imagine how lonesome a father gets for his son, Mrs. Udell. His own son that he hasn't seen this last 18 years.
What?
Benny said if you turn us down, why, he just naturally want a nice little reunion with Ben Jr. Father and son, after all this time. Hey, you better put down that phone, Mrs. Udell. I don't think you'll be calling any police after all. Do you?
Memorandum from the United States Attorney to all field offices, FBI, and Revenue Bureau. Be on the lookout for unstamped tobacco shipments being distributed in this country. Recent arrest of ring member suggests new areas may be open somewhere along the eastern seaboard. All agents are warned to be especially alert in inspecting these areas.
Good night, Ma. You set to take over?
Oh, said Ben, since I get these out of the way.
Oh, here, let me help. Are these boxes not for sale?
No. Well, it's just that they were taking up aisle space. I wanted them out of the way, that's all.
Okay. They're out of the way.
Oh.
You'll check the register yet?
I will when you're gone. Here. Let me look at you.
Yes, ma'am. Wash behind my ears and everything.
You look real nice, Ben. New suit.
Well, you said I could buy one.
I don't mean that. You never wear a new suit unless a girl's going to see it.
Okay, maybe one is. Ma.
Yeah?
When you check the register, if you should find a couple of 10 spots missing.
Ben, you just got your pay Saturday.
Yeah, well, sure, but you know how it is. If a guy doesn't want to look small potatoes.
Yes, I know. And if he wants to hang around nightclubs.
Oh, no, Ma.
Ben, listen to me. Now, I don't like to butt into your affairs, but showgirls aren't for you, believe me.
Ma, let's not go over all that. I'm old enough.
I know you are. I know that. But you know so many girls in the neighborhood. Now, do I object when you see them? That sweet Belden girl, for instance?
I'm going to be late, Ma. Good night.
I'm only telling you for your own good, Ben.
I know, Ma. Give a fella a kiss, huh? Now, don't you worry about me. This is one boy knows how to take care of himself.
Ben.
Good night, Ma. Don't wait up for me.
Customer, Ma. Good night. Got to hand it to you, Grace. You did a fine job with him.
What?
The boy, Benny Jr. You did a fine job.
Get out of this store.
Oh, now, Gracie, that's no way to talk. After all these years, I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Get out. I mean it, Benny.
Okay, you mean it. I just came by to see how you were doing on our first delivery. Object to that, and maybe I object to custody.
To what?
Custody. Father's got rights, ain't he? Visitation.
Benny, you stay away from my son. You hear that? You stay away or...
Or what? You'll maybe kill me?
Maybe. You stay away, Benny, or maybe I will kill you. Maybe I will.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. The majestic Hudson River, which has cut such a wide path through American fact and fiction, was apparently first discovered by Giovanni da Verrazzano, a Florentine navigator, on April 17, 1524. But the man for whom it was named, Henry Hudson, made the first conclusive exploration of the river during the months of September and October of 1609. Henry Hudson, hoping to find a waterway through North America to the East Indies, sailed his ship, the Half Moon, up the Hudson as far as present-day Troy, New York. In the 1620s, Dutch patroons had established a permanent colony, New Netherlands, along the banks of the Hudson, and New Amsterdam was spreading out from the southern tip of Manhattan Island. It was in 1664 that an English invasion force entered the deep-channeled mouth of the Hudson River and took over control of New Amsterdam from the Dutch. They renamed the city New York. Ships flying the Union Jack cruised the Hudson for more than a century, bringing furs and food supplies to cosmopolitan New York. Control of the Hudson became imperative during the colonial revolution for independence. The British attacked and captured Fort Washington and Fort Lee late in 1776, but their attempt to cut the jugular vein that united New England and the middle colonies was unsuccessful. Colonial independence won, peace reigned again over the river Henry Hudson once described as the Great River of the Mountains. Yes, running 306 miles from the summit of Mount Marcy in the Adirondacks to the wide-spreading harbor of New York City, the Hudson River became the lifeline of a new nation, just beginning to explore and develop its natural riches.
Hello?
Hello, Carlos. This is me. I just left the store.
Any trouble?
Talk, but no trouble. She's playing ball. Don't worry. What about the boy?
Hey, was I right? A dead image, huh?
Never mind a dead image. Did you follow him?
Oh, sure I followed him. He's having drinks at the bar of the 15th Club with candy.
Already?
Well, you said action. And that candy is a fast worker.
Any orders meantime?
No orders, Carlos. Same routine every week. Keep the smokes coming, keep them going, that's all.
And they're still getting the cigars distributed, Steve, as you can see from that report. The revenue agents found another retailer last week with an inventory of over 100 boxes without any staff.
Uh-huh. What about that tape recording you wanted me to hear, Bruce?
It's the last talk we had with Miguel Thalia. I had an idea you'd be specially interested.
Why specially?
Well, Steve, you know that memo pad Thalia had on him at the time you boys picked him up?
Yeah.
You remember the entries were mostly initials. Obviously a record of Thalia's deliveries and receipts.
Sure, I remember.
Then maybe you remember that the entry of so-and-so many boxes from B.U. was the most frequent.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we tried an old stunt on Thalia. A stunt, I'll admit, I borrowed from you, Steve. It worked in that army desertion case, so why not again?
Why not?
Anyway, we dug up all the names connected with Thalia's past record. One of them might have the initials B.U.
And one of them did.
Yes. Benny Udell. B.U.
Benny Udell?
I said you'd be specially interested.
I am, and on four separate counts. You mean he's the one behind all this?
Just listen to the tape, Steve. While we were questioning Thalia, one of my men rushed in and stage whispered that Benny Udell had just been picked up by the FBI and sang his head off. You listen and decide for yourself. Candy?
Yeah, Carlos.
I just come from seeing Benny.
And?
He says give Candy the green light on a boy. Get to work on it.
Waiter, two more of these cocktails, please, and some more d'oeuvres for the lady. Sorry, Candy. What was that?
No, nothing. I was just saying you better not come by for me tonight at the club.
Hmm? Why, I thought we had a date.
We did. But I changed my mind.
But why? I thought you liked me.
I'm more than like you. That's just it.
What?
Ben, why don't you just let well enough alone? We met. We had fun together. It's better we part friends.
Look, Candy, what's the matter? What have I done?
Nothing. But you haven't done, Ben.
Huh?
Look, honey, you're a nice kid, but you're only a kid. You can't afford to keep picking me off.
Sure I can.
On that measly handout your mother gives you from the store.
Well, it isn't any fortune.
Ben,
but...
honey, I don't think you follow me. Oh, sure, you can take me out for a drink or maybe a meal, but that's just hello, how are you? How do you think this fur got on my shoulders, grew there?
Oh.
A girl's gotta live, honey. There's rent to pay, and stockings to buy, and a bank book to fill for a rainy day. Sorry to throw the raw meat on the floor.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't
think... Of course you didn't, but a girl has to. If you were on your own, I might feel different.
On my own?
Would you like to be, Ben? Make yourself a bankroll every week instead of pennies.
Well, who wouldn't? Only...
I've got friends, honey. They let you in on a good thing if I gave the word.
Yeah, but what could I do for them?
You'd be surprised. You might do something for them right inside that store of yours.
Huh?
Honey, I wasn't going to mention this, but when I see the way your old lady's been holding out on you...
What are you talking about?
You didn't know she's been holding out? You didn't know what she's been doing to rake in extra cash?
What cash? Candy, what do you mean mine's been holding out?
I mean just what I say. You better drink your drink, Ben. I'm afraid you're in for an awful shock. Ben.
Yes?
You're all upset. Oh, it's my fault for prying into your private life. Here, take this money and go out and have a good time.
I said I didn't want any money. Maybe you didn't understand me.
Well, of course I understand you. You came across a few boxes that weren't sealed. All right, I'll call Mr. Wolin and tell him.
That's all you've got to say?
Well, what else should I say?
I've already called Mr. Wolin. He told me you weren't buying cigars to him anymore.
Please, Ben, what are you so worked up about?
About you, that's what. About what you've been doing behind my back, about all those lies you've been telling me.
What?
You heard me, nothing but lies.
Please, Ben, tell me what you're trying to get at.
All right. All right, I'll tell you. Only when I'm through, you'd better be ready to start telling me.
Hello? Oh, yes, he is. Just a minute. I'll ask him. Benny.
What?
It's Candy. She's got the kid with her. Wants to know if it's okay to bring him over.
Yeah. Let me speak to her. Candy, it's me. What's the story? Oh, he did, huh? He does? What do you know, chip of the old block? What's that? Why, sure, bring him over. He's my own flesh and blood, ain't he? You bring him right over.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. Theodore Roosevelt, rough rider, all-around sportsman, and president of the United States, waged a lifetime battle against complacency. He overcame a frail and asthmatic childhood by advocating the strenuous life. Courage, endurance, and stamina were component parts of his personal creed. It was in 1898 that T.R. resigned as Secretary of the Navy to lead Colonel Leonard Wood's Rough Riders on the charge up San Juan Hill. War-born popularity won him the governorship of New York in that same year and made him President McKinley's running mate in the election of 1900. A year later, McKinley was assassinated, and Roosevelt became president. His motto for 7 years was, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." During his second term as chief executive, he launched construction of the Panama Canal, and he also became the first president to set foot on foreign soil. In 1910, he became the first president to ride in an airplane, although by then he had been out of office for 2 years. Running for president on the Progressive Party ticket in 1912, T.R. displayed his familiar campaign vigor. At Milwaukee, a would-be assassin's bullet failed to silence his big voice and heart. With the bullet lodged in his chest, he delivered his scheduled speech. Yes, Theodore Roosevelt believed in the strenuous life, in running the risk of wearing out rather than rusting out. This he advocated for the individual, the community, and the nation.
Go on, kid, keep talking. I'm loving every minute of it.
Oh, well, that's about it. When she got through telling me, I walked out. And here I am. She was against the idea, but I told her she'd done enough harm, and I was doing things my own way now.
Hey, you hear that, Carlos? Mm-hmm. Candy? Boy's got spunk like his old man. I was right about him, wasn't I?
Yeah, looks like.
But you won't be sorry, kid. You and me are going to hit it off great. Now on, wherever I go, you go with me. You'll see what living is really like. No more psalm singing from here in.
How's that sound, Ben?
Sounds all right, Candy.
Yeah, just like his old man. I told you, Carlos.
Ollie, I'm afraid it won't work.
Why not?
Ma won't let me go with you.
How's she going to stop you?
I thought you said you were doing things your own way now.
I am. So, how's she going to stop you? By going to the FBI.
The what?
That'd be a big help. You've been trying to find me for months.
Well, she was going to fix that. By following me and Candy, she'd find where you were, then call the FBI. Following her? Yeah, that was the idea. The FBI's probably outside by now. That's why I can't go.
Benny,
Shut up, Carlos. Kid, I got no enjoyment for beat around the bush. You better start talking straight.
Okay, here it is straight. Ma told me about you. All about you. And why she kept it from me all those years. When she got through telling, I told her what I thought of her. How wonderful I thought she was.
Huh?
And how I was going to see to it that a filthy scum like you never bother again.
Boy, shut up. What else?
I said I didn't know where you were, but I knew someone who'd lead me to you. I told her to follow and then call the cops. She was against the idea, like I said, but I told her I was doing things my own way from now on. I walked out and here I am. Is that straight enough for you?
That's straight enough.
Benny,
I said shut up.
We got to get out of town, Benny. Get out
you
fast.
You too, Candy. Close your yap. I was wrong about you, kid. For a while there, I thought I saw a lot of me and you. I was dead wrong. You haven't got nothing of me. Nothing at all. Candy, answer it.
Hello?
Listen carefully. This is a federal officer speaking. I'm directing everyone in that room to surrender. Open the door and walk out with your hands up. You have exactly 60 seconds to come out. After that, we're coming in.
Well?
That was a cop. They're waiting outside the door for us.
Okay. We fix that.
Fanny, don't be a fool. What chance do we got?
Put the gun down.
Yeah, they're outside the door, so we get out to the roof. They won't shoot at the kid, will they?
Now, wait a minute.
Come on, you. One phony move, this goes off, right? You're back. Up in the window, kid.
Not me. I'm staying here.
Carlos.
I'm not going with you,
they
Fanny.
Won't shoot at the
I'm
kid.
I'm not going with
you. Okay. Okay, the kid and me will go without you.
Come on.
Look.
Never mind. Look. Do like I say.
What?
Go on. Get out.
They got the place surrounded. You haven't a chance.
Up the escape. Go on. Up.
Is it you, Udell?
Yeah.
Come on down from there, Udell. Come down or my men have orders to shoot.
Okay, so let him shoot. You'll only hit the boy. Go on, kid, up the stairs.
No.
Go up, you hear me? Go up or I'll shoot. Go up, you hear me?
Quiet, Bruce.
Okay, kid, you asked for it. You asked for it. Get those lights off me. Get them off me and you get it too.
There he goes, Bill.
Get them off me and you get it too. Get those lights off me, I'm warning you.
With the recovery of young Ben Udell from the gunshot wound inflicted by his father, the United States attorney presented the whole story of tax evasion and coercion to a federal grand jury. Benny Udell, Ramon Carlos, Miguel Trella, and a score of others were indicted on various counts, brought to trial, and convicted. Mrs. Udell, though guilty of concealing a crime, was given a suspended sentence in view of both the circumstances and her son's action in helping to dissolve the smoke ring. The United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
There at the end, the music on that show. Some of those old-time radio shows don't come through real clear, but I always listen to them on the internet, and they come through clear. I hear them on my cell phone when I'm here on the switchboard, but this one seemed to work pretty good. I think I'll take a moment here tonight with the remaining minutes and talk about this news story. There are a couple really major news stories this week about cell phone and driving risks. And one of these stories comes out of Oklahoma City, and they're talking about a young man named Christopher Hill. On his 15th birthday, he got his first cell phone. For his 16th, he was given a used red Ford Ranger pickup truck. He said it was the pride, his own pride. He washed the thing every week. He was a diligent student with a reputation for helping neighbors. And he also took pride in his clean driving record. So he didn't have one speeding ticket, not a fender bender, or anything. And then last September, Mr. Hill, he was then 20, left the parking lot of a Goodwill store where he had spotted a dresser that he thought might interest a neighbor. So he dialed her to pass along the news on his cell phone. He was so engrossed in the call that he ran a red light and didn't notice Linda Doyle, another woman. She was driving a sport utility vehicle until the last second he hit her. She was going like 45 miles per hour, and she was pronounced dead shortly thereafter. So the cell phone, in fact, distracted him. And the commentator was saying that extensive research shows the dangers of distracted driving, of course. Studies say that drivers using cell phones are four times as likely to cause a crash as other drivers. That's incredible, isn't it? Four times as likely. And the likelihood that they will crash is equal to that of someone with a 0.08% blood alcohol level, the point at which drivers are generally considered intoxicated. I think that's in virtually every state in the United States, but I wouldn't swear to it. Researchers also show that these hands-free devices, they don't eliminate the risk. It's actually the mind that's occupied that causes the distraction. So here, a 2003 Harvard study estimated that cell phones caused 2,600 traffic deaths every year and 330,000 accidents that result in moderate or severe injuries. That's a lot of people dying. 2,600, we're up to the point that we're talking about the level of felonious homicide, death by firearms, knives, strangling, et cetera. So yet Americans have largely ignored the research. Instead, they increasingly use phones, they use navigation devices, I have one, I can't figure it out, so I don't use it, but even laptops to turn their cars into mobile offices and chat rooms and entertainment centers, and they're making the roads more and more dangerous. And there's a disconnect between the perception and reality worsens the problem. The studies are showing that these drivers overestimate their own ability to multitask, which is something that's actually, you know, spawned in our society. You're supposed to be a clever person, man or woman, if you can multitask, but this is not the place to practice it, apparently, behind the wheel, is it? These device makers and auto companies acknowledge the risks of multitasking behind the wheel, but they aggressively develop and market gadgets that cause distractions. Police in almost half of all states make no attempt to gather data on the problem. They're not required to ask drivers who cause accidents whether they were distracted by a phone or some other type of device. Even when officers do ask, some drivers are not forthcoming, which you could imagine. Federal government warns against talking on a cell phone while driving, but no state legislature has banned it. Isn't that incredible? This year, state legislators introduced about 170 bills to address distracted driving, but passed fewer than 10. Five states and the District of Columbia require drivers who talk on cell phones to use hands-free devices. But research shows that these handsets are just as dangerous as holding the phone in your hand. I find that's a little hard to believe, but I guess you'd have to try it. Now, go to the New York Times site and type in something there about cell phone dangers. They have a little exercise where you're driving, and then you're trying to text a message at the same time, and it has you going through little gates where a light will pop up on gate 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6, and you're supposed to drive through that while you're sending this text message. And guess what? Folks aren't very good at doing it. Verizon, one of these companies, they post information on their websites to not talk while they're driving. Of course, Verizon is going to not discourage anyone in any formal way from actually doing that. Here's the Sergeant Matthew Downing. He's a tough-talking 11-year veteran on the Oklahoma City Police Department. He drives a car with no lights on the roof. That way, drivers are less likely to notice him because he waits for speeders. Oklahoma City is a fine police department, by the way. Increasingly, he sees erratic behavior, people swerving across lanes, running red lights. It looks just like drunken driving, he said. They're talking on their phones or they're texting. And I think most folks in America have seen that. I saw a guy go completely to the other side of the street and then sort of throw his phone up in the air and realize what he's doing and turn his wheel back on the road. So this might be worth doing a whole show on here if I can get some guest commentators that want to talk about that. I did have a student once that did a research project where he found out in Columbus in the early morning rush hour coming down off of freeways and in the evening rush hour going back up on 60 to 70% of people, morning was 60s, evening 70% were using a cell phone exiting up onto the freeway. Incredible. Well, folks, that's just about it for tonight. I see Audrey giving us a little signal there. Is it time to go off the air, Audrey? I think it might be. If we can get our switchboard to work here, it must do something like that eventually, wouldn't it? I think Blog Talk Radio has been getting real busy. I think we'll have a switchboard in a second. And we'll hear Vera Lynn sign us off as she sings We'll Meet Again. I think we may get off before that even happens because our switchboard is still trying to light up. We'll have to see. Closer, closer, closer. My, oh, my. Maybe I'll have to switch to one of those premium things. They've been advertising that all night where our show's been on, that I should switch to premium. Be a premium host as opposed to a regular host, whatever that means. So we're getting closer and closer. There's another ad for becoming a premium host. and I'm still looking for my switchboard, and it must be coming. If it doesn't, we'll play extra minutes of Vera Lynn next week before we sign off. It must be there somewhere. I don't think we made it. The show is not on. We're going to play it anyway.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know.